Y'all know what the fuck y'all clicked on. It's another episode of the Stay Tuned Podcast. You know, it's the OG host with the most, Johnny Currien. Get out my motherfucking name.
Yeah, his name's always what it is.
Always.
It might change. I might do the Prince one time, change it to a symbol.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, get different.
I might change it to an emoji one day. You know what I'm saying?
Damn. What emoji would you change it to?
Eggplant. Come on,
okay.
Bro.
I don't know how would I come off in podcast form. It's your boy though, Nathaniel Nicole Jackson, the Okage, the Billiton and Lees, the Commander of the Scout Regiment, the King of the Pirates, the Commissioner CCG, Principal of the Hero Academy, Captain Commander of the GOAT, Tier 13, Leader of the Heishin Unit, General of the Red Army, Kakashi Hatake, Jiraiya Sensei, Vince Smoke, Sanji, Odin, Sama, Black Picasso, talking again into the mic to you personally, because I love you.
He back. It's your boy Stan.
That's it.
I like nah, it's your boy Stanley Stark of the House of Targaryen from.
Oh shit!
Oh, yeah. watch out! It's your boy the Prince of
that nigga's a Stark from House Targaryen. The Prince of the Promise.
This guy even been watching the show.
King of the Andals.
Nah,
Breaker of Chains.
It's your boy
Father of Dragons.
Newly Game of Thrones watching. Your boy Stan, I'm here. I'm ready to go.
I'm hype, boy. I'm hype. Same.
And we back, baby.
Yeah, man. It's a nice little wrap up for 2022.
Actually, yeah.
Hey, man, looking back at the year, bro, how was y'all's year?
It was my best year.
That shit felt like a week.
Yeah, I'd say, man, it was a dope year for me. I've been able to travel a lot. I've went to two countries outside of the U.S., which I haven't done since I was, like, 5 years old. So, I hadn't traveled outside of the country up until this year, and then I've traveled to two. Yeah. I have, in my job, just felt so much more comfortable and empowered to the point where I'm making, like, you know what I mean, decisions completely on my own, and I'm training other people, and I've just been able, like, when I look back on this year, I've been able to do a lot. Like, I've been to, you know, so many different places in the U.S. just to hang out with friends, like, for work, and then also to hang out with, like, different friends that I have all across the country. So, like, at the end of the day, I just look back on this year, and I'm like, damn, I'm blessed. Like, not a lot of people can do this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, it sucks having friends all over the country, but then at the same time, because you don't get to see them all the time, but at the same time, it's dope. Because we all have the means to be able to go see each other and do different shit in different parts of the country. So it's been dope. It's been a great year for me, for real.
Sheesh. Exactly. That's what's up.
That boy adulted. God.
That boy has been traveling. I've been seeing so many fucking feet in the airplane cockpit. Not cockpit.
I've been wondering if class, people get sick of just seeing my feet.
That boy be moving. 4 a.m. flights only.
Yeah, no, I'm at, like, I'm closing in on, like, 30 flights right now.
Nah, I like
I'm United Platinum right now, and I'm, like, a couple flights away from being United 1K. So, I'm out here. Staying loyal to United has really upped my travel game, for sure. I'd be randomly getting upgraded to first class now, which is nice. That's dope.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's crazy, like for instance, like when you up in these levels, like how people treat you when you're inconvenienced. For me, it wasn't an inconvenience at all. Like this last flight that I was on, they were like, oh, sir, I'm so sorry, but this man in a wheelchair needed the aisle seat. So we moved you to first class. Is that going to be an issue? I was like, no. Why would that be an issue? And if it was an issue, where would you move me? Like, to the cockpit?
Who,
like,
says
where,
yes?
Where else is there to go? Like,
who says yes?
This will do just fine. Like, great question.
What? Wait, hold up. If the wheelchair nigga needs more space, why not put him in first class?
Hey, he ain't getting
points. Yeah.
Fuck you, that wheelchair.
Pointless ass bitch.
I think that crossed my mind, but I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah.
Capitalism, motherfucker. Nice. Man, for me, I feel like, this year has been a lot of, I guess, adulting, but more of like growing up in a different aspect. I actually started looking into home ownership and then also being in a long-term relationship, the thoughts of like settling down, all the shit that comes with that, all the work. Like, I never even thought of the work that goes into that. So now mentally, like, everything that I'm preparing for is now like not a just your thing. It's like, and it's not a just me thing. You feel me? Because like, there's always going to be somebody in my life that I'm going to have to take care of. There's a family that someday, like, I'm going to have to start. There's going to be multiple dependents for, like, in a couple of years out, there could be multiple dependents I got to take care of. So, like, what am I doing now to make sure I don't fuck that up later? Because I got a good thing going. And sometimes with me, like, personally, I was having mental health issues dealing with that. I was having so many ups and downs along the way, just trying to figure out how to balance all of that. You know what I mean? Great job, great girl. Still being good with the family, still making sure I check in with myself. That's the biggest thing that I neglected was, you know, like my physical health, my mental health, just all those little things. And it's not like they don't seem big at all, but like when all these little things from different parts of your life start to add up and stack up, even one little extra thing that gets added on top of that can turn into a really big thing, or it could like break the camel's back. And so I kind of had to learn. And just understanding the responsibilities that come with that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Kenton, like, our friend is, like, getting married next year, too. And just seeing what those bills and all that shit looks like. I got another brother who has a kid. Now he's, like, 1 year old. So seeing him become older, seeing what it takes to raise a kid, like, learning about all of that stuff. It's been really eye-opening for me. Because it's, like, right when I thought I'd finally hit the mountaintop, like, you know what I mean? From a decade ago, I look at all the goals that I wanted to get to. I finally achieved them. And then right when I got there, I was like, damn, now I'm at like ground zero of a whole other game. And like, there were some moments it overwhelmed me, but there were some moments where it like overwhelmed me in a good way. Like it was like, oh my God, I'm so blessed. Like, you know what I mean? Like that all these things are happening. Like, you know, like when me and Lauren can pull up and I go see Stan. Stan's got this house. Like, you know, him and Gabby are having a great time. He's hosting events for people and shit. Like, you know, him and me are talking about like credit card benefits because we trying to run a bag up and all this shit. Like, this is nice. Like, this is those parts I'm overwhelmed in a good way where it's like, I can't believe we're doing all of this impressive shit at such a young age. On my good days, it's like it's a blessing and it motivates me. But on my bad days, sometimes it's like pressure. So I had to learn how to deal with that, because there were some moments where I'd take it out on my relationship, or I'd take it out on my family, or I'd get behind on my job, or I'd get behind my savings goals to go get the house. Learning how to get the patience to build that, and then just kind of figuring out balance.
So yeah, I was gonna say, like, where does your mental health struggles come from? Because everything you just described sounds like good things happening in your life, but it sounds like at the same time it's like all this good stuff that's happening in your life is creating like pressure. You said it, pressure. Is pressure what bothers you? That's what scares you? Or it sounds like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself for one guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can see that happens.
But that's the only life I know. That's how I've gotten.
That's what pushes you a little bit?
I don't know. It's very difficult. Yeah, it's the only way I can keep progressing in life. I don't know. The expectations I feel like have always been set high for me. So it's like, every time it gets higher, the pressure gets higher, I just have to learn how to adjust. Yeah. And it's like, I'm built for that, but it's tough in the process.
Be careful of that, bro. I think we all fall subject to that. All of us hyper successful people, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and we don't look back on the things that we have accomplished and just appreciate where we're at in the moment. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we put our, like, literally, like I've told you this, like, literally bought a house and then I was like, it probably wasn't 2 weeks later that I was thinking, oh, I gotta buy the next thing, the Airbnb or the, you know what I'm saying? I never took a second to just be like, damn, I'm in a house. Like, this is nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, we gotta be careful putting too much pressure on ourselves when we're doing great. But at the same time, us putting that pressure on ourselves is what got us to where we're at. So we think we gotta keep going harder. So it's tough.
Yeah. It's a big reason why.
It's a catch-22 sometimes. But I mean, I look back and all those times where we had to deal with those pressures, like whether it was like college, starting out with our jobs and stuff, like we knew we were in the trenches, and every single time we knew that there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, and we just kept working.
And you made it there.
We just kept our heads down and kept working, and we figured it out. So it's like, you know, I try to be transparent with y'all about this because it's like, I think it's important for us as men to like, not just get on the podcast and always flex 100% of the time. I look back at so much shit. We do a lot of dope shit. It's fun to do that. But it's also, I feel like, more useful sometimes to, I don't know if it's necessarily the listeners, but just like us as a group of people to understand that, like, hey, man, with all of this great shit that we're doing, there's always work that comes with it. And there's a cost behind that. And it's like, if we don't normalize the pressure that comes along, I guess if we don't acknowledge the pressure that comes with it, then it's very easy to internalize that and then take that out in a really different way. And I'm trying to at least set an example as men, because so many of the older generations, like our parents' generations, I see this with all pretty much all of our dads, like especially my dads, their generations, they weren't comfortable as men just telling their homies like, hey, I'm struggling right now. Like that was just not masculine. That was just not a bravado. You know what I'm saying? Like you was doing what the fuck you was supposed to do, but like whatever issues you was dealing with, like you kept that shit inside and you just kind of figure that shit out. But I kind of I hope to set an example that, like, you know, we're stronger as a community. And if you reach out to other people and stuff like that, whenever you're dealing with stuff, it's useful, because like you never know. Someday you might even be in that situation. It's like, at least I'm not alone when I feel like this. Or I remember when blah, blah, blah was dealing with that. And that's how they got through it. So it's like just having that get on here and wisdom.
Talk about it, 'cause it sounded like you know,
not only just the great moments, but like what comes along with it too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good.
That's great.
Yeah,
though.
Man. I feel like the past couple of, it's like the whole year. It's been a beautiful process. I mean, that's the new phase of life that I'm in, where it's like, it's not really. I'm almost like past the notion of like flexing in the clubs or like spending money on chains or like crazy clothes, because the things that we trying to build now are so much more priceless than that. You know what I'm saying? Like an amazing family is priceless. Like real equity, like the shit that Stan's got in some aspect of his life, you can't pay for that. There's people who are rich as fuck who are like 40 something at the club and they're never going to be able to get the quality of life that Stan has. You know what I'm saying? In just certain aspects, in terms of family, relationship, all of that shit. So I think like when your foundation is great, then you can really gun it in your 30s to like, you know, that's when you can be a millionaire, a multimillionaire, stuff like that. Because you got such a great foundation set up that your assets are starting to make you money, and the things that you've invested in, no matter what, it doesn't even have to be like actual, like, you know, equity in terms of stocks or your house or whatever, but your relationships too, like, right? Like we was talking about this off the mic from before, like in regards to all that Miami shit, right? Like when you invest with certain people, your time, your experiences and stuff, and the shit clicks and y'all are having great experiences together, and that networking is creating these opportunities, doesn't necessarily have to be business. Sometimes it can just be life fulfillment or knowledge or all of this other shit. When you continue to water that, when you continue to invest in that, the way your life grows is like, it's almost like exponential. It's crazy how much better your life can get. So I'm really big into that, like understanding that I only got so much time with my day, and so it's like investing that with the right people, on the right opportunities, on the right topics, like kind of transitioning off of some old shit that I used to like when I was a kid and moving on into some other stuff that can set up my legacy, my family's legacy. I think that's a big thing for me, because it's like 27 has given me the opportunity to kind of see what the next decade is going to start looking like. Like I'm already looking down the window, because by the time that I get to 30 with all the thinking I'm doing now, we just working. You know what I'm saying? Sure. We just going straight to work. It's, and we're just running it up.
It's tough because we got, like the grind and all that. I'm actually having a hard time with understand it. Like I'm having a hard time right now with like creating new relationships.
Same.
Yeah, it's my like I don't go out of my way anymore to make new relationships, which I need to kind of fix, I think, because like you said, the me going out of my way before to build these relationships, taking that risk to meet a new person that ends up being fruitful in your life, is how I got to where I'm at now. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, yeah, I'm good with the people that I know. I'm good with continuing to build on what I, you know what I'm saying, like the group of people that I got. And so that can be dangerous, because then now I'm not meeting anybody new that can expand my views in other ways. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just pouring into the people that are around me. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful with that as well.
You got to be careful.
That's what I worry about with like the married life, or not even like married, but like the like pretty much lifestyles you have now, Stan, not to show your lifestyle, but like the living with your girl and getting sedentary. Like I said before, you have like a, you have a pattern to like your day where you work, you come back, you eat, talk with your girl, watch a few episodes of Game of Thrones, and then you find yourself just in that pattern forever. And then you look up 5 years later, it's like, I haven't met a new friend in 6 years. Because you're not doing that anymore. Because I was thinking about this earlier. A lot of like the new friends I meet, and well, I meet from two different reasons. One, because I'm here in Richmond with like two of my friends that I've grown up with, and one of them is way more social than me. So he naturally like introduced me to different friend groups, and I eventually get close to them and shit like that. But two, like out there looking for bitches, you're there being social, and like your priority is like looking for people to date or whatever like that. But you end up meeting a lot of people who like you just vibe with in general, and just being in the scene, you meet up with different guys and girls, and that really fuels a lot of your new social interaction is dating, even if it doesn't end up with like a love interest. But like you see all these marriages where like the people end up not having any friends other than their spouse, and then like, but that's like a complicated relationship itself. So when you are interacting with your spouse, you don't have anybody else to lean on other than like maybe like your kid or something, or like the father of one of your kid's friends, which you're not really even cool with like that. Like I never want to be the dad whose only like quote unquote friends are the weird fathers of the friends my kid makes. I want to have my own friends.
Yeah, I say from, that seems from like my experience work when you get married. Is, I mean, we're still super social right now because we don't have any kids. So like I'm constantly meeting like Gabby's like work friends, and you know, my work friends, and then my friends of course have friends, and so I'm meeting those people. But I just don't feel the motivation to further the new relationship, I guess the new friendships that I have is kind of more what it is. And it's more, I don't know what it comes from. Yeah. I don't know. To be honest, I think with being in a more technical role, I feel like I'm starting to lose my social capabilities. I'm not going to lie. Like, dude,
it's the curse of engineering, man. Yeah. We used to like look up and like, you know, as kids and see these engineers and we're like, yo, these guys are some fucking social, like antisocial weirdos. Like, why are they robots? And now like that we're getting older, it's like, bro, like the things that motivate me are the technical aspects of my life, because that's what's made me money. That's how I got here. This is how I drive my purpose. You know what I'm saying? And when you see other people, it's also like, sometimes when you're going out, like especially with your girl, like y'all are going and seeing these new experiences together, and then like, you know, she meets people, she has friends from her work, you get exposed to her friend group, and then like vice versa, right? Like you got either got your homies, right, like or work colleagues and stuff, and then she gets exposed to them, and then y'all have to collectively sit there and then kind of like figure out, all right, which people do we feel like are gonna collectively like are worth kind of continuing this with. And it's also like strategic, because there are people out here who are adults who are just on some dumb shit, you know what I'm saying? And it's like you gotta have to figure out like, all right, where it's fucked up, but like a lot of adults, I feel like the older we get, we have to make like early reads on like where this person's life is going based off of if you want to have conversations with them.
Yeah,
and it's not so because like y'all are judgmental or selfish, it's just because all adults have some shit to lose.
Well, it's we like all have
a certain type of wrong exposure can like really,
we have a defined amount of we have a defined amount of energy. Like we gotta split it up how you see fit for you, you know what I'm saying? And it's finite.
It's so much more finite
unless you're taking Adderall every day. It is finite. Like there's like you gotta split up, you gotta be choosy, to be quite honest. You know what I'm saying? If you want to focus on, you can't focus on everything. So that's the tough part, is like carving out the time for the people that you think like that's my thing. Is I'm like, I feel like I got enough friends. I'm already struggling to keep up with the friends I got. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a blessing that
I was about to say the same.
Like okay, we got on this podcast. It's so great catching up with you guys, but we do this once a month because we're all busy dudes. It's hard for us to even keep up with each other, and we're top tier friends of each other, you know what I'm saying? Or is where I hold y'all. So it's like it's tough. But
yeah, man, Stan, going off of what you were saying, like that, I have enough friends at this point, and I feel like with what I have, like, I'm not even maximizing what I have. Like, and it's because, you know, me personally, I was dealing with something that Nate was actually kind of asking a question on, which is like not losing yourself within the relationship such that, like, you know, your ability to go get exposed to new experiences, yeah, or meet new friends or being in new environments happen. Because there is that period of time where, at least happened for me, and I'm sure it happens in all relationships, where like you're trying to balance yourself and your partner, like learning how to prioritize something that you love very dearly while not neglecting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like maintaining your schedule, your identity, like all the things that you do that makes you you, like no matter if you're arguing with your girl, if you're not, like you can still fall back to yourself. Whereas like me, when I was having arguments, it's like I'd be so consumed because like A, I love the person that I'm with so much, but B, like I'm fucking right in this argument and I need to prove that I'm right. I don't know, that's some male ego shit. Right. So it's like you spend so much of your day getting wrapped up in that, it's like suddenly like you're like, oh man, like I didn't spend as much time doing this work stuff, or I didn't spend as much time like exercising the way that I used to when I was single. Like all those little slip ups, like it can add up like that. But when you get that shit on lock, like the when you have that stuff figured out, then that's when you can really springboard into doing anything.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to choosing like the right partner, setting the right tone. Like once you have that foundation set up, then you can get right back into doing that. It's like totally right. possible to do in a relationship, but it like you, there has to be such a high level of communication that comes way past the honeymoon phase.
You have a life and awareness. Outside of
you land your partner. That, you got it.
If you, I think that's where me and Gabby are at this point, 7 years in. We're at the point now we don't have to do everything together. Like, you know what I mean? We do a lot together. We hang out with people a lot together just because we're fun people, and we don't, you know what I'm saying, like cling on to each other. When we're in social, it's funny because when we're in social situations, it's like a lot of people like my sister was like, do they even date? Like they don't kiss each other. They don't show that they even like each other. Like while we're together, and it's just like we're at that point now where we're just like when we're around people, we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable. So we don't put other people in positions where they feel like they're third wheeling. Like we're all just friends in this situation to where we're all just chilling. You know what I'm saying? We have enough time together to be all cutesy, cuddly and shit. So it's like when we're with friends, we're just like she's just another one of us just chilling. You know what I'm saying? With
the I like that though. Like,
yeah. We used to be touchy feely, PDA, nasty, but we've grown past that for sure. Which is nice. But Nate, we didn't ask you how your 2022. You haven't went into your 2022.
Oh shit. I feel like this year's actually been the most productive year for me as far as like having an actual vision of where I'm gonna be 10 years from now, or even 10 years plus from now, career wise, more specifically. Because like I never really had a passion for system safety engineering, which is what I'm doing now. Like, I never, it's a job. It's a good job. I love the company I'm with, and they give me a lot of flexibility and benefits, and they pay well and all that good shit. But at the end of the day, like, I never really had, like, a, I don't know. I never had, that much of a drive for the specific job other than wanting to do well just in general. Until this year, I got, like, way more of a, I guess, a long-term plan with this. I could see where I'm going to be 10 years from now. Like, my uncle, I don't know. This might be too in the weeds with the contracting life and shit like that. So I'm a government contractor. So the company that I'm with picks up contracts for the Navy and the Army and Marines and all that shit to give them weapons, do analysis on it, bullshit like that. My uncle owns his own contracting firm. And this year or last year, he was granted a facility clearance, which means that he can give a clearance to pretty much anybody to pretty much legitimize their contracting firm in the eyes of the government. So eventually I can keep going in the path I'm on now, get a good experience on my belt, learn the whole process of making proposals for contracts and forming a team and getting the job done and shit like that, where I can get my 6 to 10 years experience with this, leave the company, take 4 or 5 people with me that I trust and love to work with and shit like that, and start my own shit and start taking our own small contracts. And that gives me so much more of a long-term view and future with this shit that I'm actually excited to move forward in my career for the first time.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's what's up. I actually see a future in this shit.
That's huge.
Yeah, which is huge. Because I didn't see a future in mechanical engineering, let alone that specific job.
Yeah.
Other than making money. I guess the general idea of money.
Right.
That's huge.
So now you got a path to, being independent and doing your own.
Be your own business owner. Take my own contracts. More war dog shit. What's great about it too is there's a whole thing, because Booz Allen is a humongous contractor company, but there are certain contracts that can only go to small companies, and if I did go on my own with me and my 10 people or whatever like that, I would definitely have contracts that I can get, and when I do, I can still be the primary for that contract and still get somebody called a sub for my contract, which can be a big company like Booz Allen and SAIC, companies that I already have relationships with and already know the people that are higher ups there and everything. So I can take on decently sized contracts that only my size company can get, and still a lot of American contracts and a lot of the money that the American government gets come from supplying pretty much the entire military for other countries.
We make so much money in the Middle East by just having other people in the Middle East kill each other. And we just give them the weapons.
Oh,
and they're going to kill each
other.
God and all this other shit.
It's so much more to give weapons.
Running it up. It's insane.
I tell you right now, I could list probably 12 countries right now that would completely go under if we stopped supplying them with pretty much everything. Our whole military, pretty much. We're keeping a lot of countries alive. Literally alive.
Yeah, I heard that was a big thing, because as we became the world police, we started setting up military bases, and then those military bases started having bigger economies than the major cities in these small third world countries themselves. It's simply just the presence of a U.S. military base would bring so much associated dollar business, U.S. dollar business, which is the world reserve currency, that it would start to generate a sizable GDP that would meaningfully contribute to that third world country. And with that comes immense negotiating powers.
Right. And with the, everything going on with Russia right now, because a lot of the world's weapons also come from Russia, but not anymore.
Yeah.
That's a lot more contracts for America.
Damn. So do you have any more insight on why we're giving all these weapons to Ukraine? Because I know that's a lot of people's big complaint. It's we have all these things that we could be providing all these billions of dollars to, but we're deciding to give money to Ukraine. Is it? I mean,
yeah, I've always wondered about that. Because on top of that too, it's I don't know, man. I'm brown, so I have a lot of friends and stuff, and even family members that have lived in the Middle East. And every single time, especially if you look at the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and stuff, even in Nicaragua and South America, we would support a certain group. We would give them a fuck ton of advanced weaponry that nobody in that region had ever fucking seen before. Half of them would just go anti-US and start their own thing. And then we would just have terrorist group or some type of militia, militant thing that we essentially created by proxy over time, because we simply gave them a bunch of advanced warfare because we wanted to have
we trained them. Exactly. we build up
Taliban
so we prop up their military in so many different ways, pretty much every way so many different countries, the Taliban and ISIS and all that shit.
Yeah, totally. Let's
but
take
the weird thing about this Ukraine thing, the weird thing about this Ukraine thing that stands out to me is how much more public us giving them weapons have been than the rest. It seems like that might be
we don't give a fuck. We're anybody who wants it can come get it. We don't fucking kill each other. I don't care. We're reckless now. Yeah. We don't even hide that shit. It's not even in the 80s and stuff.
Well, no, I think it's purposeful.
Yeah, now we are very direct. Actually, I kind of respect it, because I feel back in the Reagan era when we were trying to be sneaky about it, that was kind of fucked up. Now we're just out in the open. We're just whoever wants it can come get it.
Well, I think now there's a void to fill with this whole Russia shit that I think we're capitalizing on. We want everybody, we want the rest of the world to see we have the weapons that can defend Ukraine from a powerhouse like Russia.
But here's my thing, right? The reason why I brought up the Middle East, though, is what if this shit ends up in Russian hands? The same way that we was fighting over
Ukraine. Because Russia's gonna take over Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's arming them, right? That's what I have been thinking the whole time. We have done this in the Middle East by mistake for 4 decades straight. I don't want to see this shit happen with Ukraine and Russia.
war what are we gonna is give? Profitable are we, in every single way.
Are we going to give Russia something? Are we going to give something to Ukraine that Russia takes that they don't already have? Like, do they already
we
have
we don't know exactly what Russia has. We don't know exactly what Russia has. But yeah, we for sure giving them some... Because that's basically, at the end of the day, what's happening. Is everything we're going to give to Ukraine is going to end up in Russian hands. They're not going to fend them off forever. Especially with the shit happening now.
I don't know why, but like my natural reaction whenever I see somebody flying a Ukraine flag is to roll my eyes. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I just feel like I see these Ukraine flags like flying around literally in my neighborhood, and I'm just like, do you really care, or are you just trying to show me that you care?
Niggas had no idea what their flag looked like a year ago.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, do you actually care? Or are you trying to show me that you're a good person? Like, I don't really believe it. I'm like, when did you care about Ukraine? Are you Ukrainian? I you know what I'm saying? Like, I just roll my eyes every time I see it, but I don't know.
America has me so jaded. America has me so jaded, I pretty much don't trust anything. Anybody that says they stand for anything, I roll my eyes at this point.
Yeah, we are like, at this point.
If you stand for anything, I'm like, I assure you do.
Yeah.
In any side. Yeah. Not even a side. Not even like a liberal conservative. In any side. If you stand for something, it's like, yeah, sure you do.
Yeah. It's an easy sign to find out if something's stupid or not.
For me, I'm just like...
They're smart. All the smart people I know, like, acknowledge that they're kind of dumb in certain aspects of life. Yeah, exactly.
That they don't know anything, actually. All the
dumb people I know are like, don't know. Listen to me. I have life completely figured out.
Yeah, I'm like, if it was so obvious, do you not think that there are smart people up there making these decisions? And like, I'm literally saying all this off of reading one book. Like, I've been reading Barack Obama's book, and just like seeing just all of the factors, everything that goes into making a decision. Like, the president is making a decision based off of like 20 different strategic advisors that are the most read up, smartest motherfucker that's been studying this for 30 years, and there's never a good there's never a perfect answer to anything. There's always downsides to everything. It's always gray area. Like, it's never gonna be a black and white situation.
It's a fucking tweet. That's the thing that pisses me off the most. They're not even doing headline work anymore. They're not even picking up a newspaper and being like, what's the headline? It's tweets. It's your news feed. You feel me?
You read one sentence and all of a sudden you know how to solve all of our issues. I'm like, it is so complex. It's so complicated. There's no
right. And you're privy to zero of the information.
Facts.
And if you are, you're not reading it.
Yeah. Like, okay. So like, for instance, for like the financial crisis in 08 or whatever, when Obama had to try and like curb that or whatever, like even the answer that they came up with all these financial gurus that have been doing this for so long, they were like, I don't know if it's gonna work, but it might. Like, it may work. We're not sure. Like, we're gonna implement it and hopefully it works.
Yeah, because they had to break the system. They had to literally create like work around new laws to be like, okay, we need to re-rig this to still keep the existing laws, but we're gonna have to bullshit some new workaround laws that make up for this. Like, quantitative easing, like, when you look back at the financial crisis, what Ben Bernanke did at the Federal Reserve was unprecedented. We literally came to terms as a Federal Reserve, who also happens to be the world's currency, to be like, yeah, money doesn't exist. Like, we could just make it up. And they did. And then they printed a fuck ton because they decided we're going to treat this like a made up thing. We got off the gold standard. We got off the silver standard. Our dollar hasn't been backed by any form of a material for a long time, in theory.
But it's still there.
You could just say this is bullshit. And then they did it. And somehow, some ways it worked out. Some ways it created the worst, you know, wealth inequality humanity's ever seen. But there was no right answer. It's like, if they didn't do that, think of what the consequences could have been at the same time.
Yeah, it's
I wish more Americans had that perspective.
It's tough, man. I mean,
how bad can you really be at your elected officials at the end of the day?
Can we start this new term? This is what I've been thinking about. You know how there's extremes on the right and the left? How about we create an extreme centrist? Like, being extremely centrist, like to the point where you're saying, why can't everybody admit that we just don't know everything?
What if there was a third option, or what if both of these options suck, or I just don't know and let's try to figure it out together? Like, those are all better alternatives.
The answer is money. The answer is money. Yeah, there's so much profit in stoking the extremes and stoking the fight. The biggest reason why, like, the extremes exist as strong as they do is because there's so much money in poking the fight and keeping the fight going in media and driving people to vote. People don't vote for mild feelings. They vote for extreme feelings.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing.
They watch the news for extreme feelings.
Let's be extreme in the middle. I'm yelling.
How do you not become Kanye?
That's true.
Both sides.
Like, I thought about this one time.
You know what I'm saying?
Because like,
there's positives on both sides. There's negatives on both sides.
Because then
you
end up both sizing everything so hard. You know what I mean? You start both sides.
Yeah, you're
so
never
hard.
On a...
Yeah, you're never on a side. And then you end up hurting everybody. You feel me?
So it's like, I
know what you're talking about, though, Stan.
I wonder, am I a bit...
Yeah.
Am I a
bit... No, that's okay. But that's... No, but that's okay. Stand for the truth. The truth is, it's not black and white.
Yeah.
But I think the epitome of that actually might not be Kanye as much as just Rogan, which is if you're so far in the center where you're being so reasonable, the thing about that is a lot of the media is still going to be on one side or the other. And it's a fight at the end of the day. And what happened to the centrists, because Rogan did kind of start like a bit of a extreme centrist wave.
Yeah.
But what happened with that is... the right wing hijacked it.
They did.
And the left wing pushed it away, because the left wing is more like, if you're not 100% with us, you're on the other side.
I also feel
and
like
the right wing is more like,
Elon.
Yeah, you're on the other side. You and your voters are on your side. It did happen with Elon.
Yeah.
It happened with Elon, Rogan, all that Chappelle, all those people who were like, well, let's just
Austin,
think about
Texas,
the nuance
that
of things.
Happened with Austin, Texas, for sure, man.
It's the Austin move, but the right hijacked it. The centrist started to become a thing, but the right hijacked it, and the left gave it to the right.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate.
If you're so in the middle, you can't.
It's easy for someone to
feel shitty whenever you have to.
You
vote.
Can't.
It's rough.
Not everything can be case by case. You can't make laws case by case. You have to make blanket.
And that's the thing. It's like, okay, the ways that we can change these things from being so politicized, like so extremely left or right, is by making like wholesale institutional change. But you cannot do that, even if we come up with like, okay, if we get rid of gerrymandering, right? Like if we get rid of super PACs, if we say that there's only a certain limit on campaigns, right? Like where you can only one individual or corporation can only donate about $5,000. Let's say that's the cap of what you can donate to a politician. Even if you pass all these great laws that a lot of people have bipartisan support on, you can't do that because we have a politicized mechanism to get any wholesale legislation fucking passed. So it's like, even when we come up with the good ideas, we have to push it through a messed up politicized system.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was crazy, like, seeing, like, the actual process of getting something passed. Like, it's all about the votes. It's all about getting, like, what it always came down to, it seemed like while I'm reading this book, it was like, Obama had these votes that he knew he was going to get, and then he had like five or so centrists on both sides, like three Democratic centrist type of people that like, or was it conservative liberals or whatever the fuck. There was like five of them that he had to like convince to get just enough votes to get something passed. You know what I'm saying? So it really came down to those five, because the rest of the people were going to vote what they were going to vote regardless of whatever the fuck they said, because and then on the conservative side, you had to convince those guys, and then there was also the pressure of their party saying, oh, okay, so you're going to vote with them, nah, fuck you, we're going to fucking destroy your career,
we'll primary you.
Let's happen with like, Romney,
we'll take you right out of there, we'll put our guy in,
Paul. Won't even be a Republican anymore. And it's just like, man, it's just like crazy to think. It's just like, man, it's like, it's such thin margins, I guess.
And because the margins are so thin, that's why these politicians only give a fuck about their next election cycle. Like, when you are in a system like that, you can't even blame the politicians. The game is so fucking rigged. The second you get in the office, like, you don't have time to give a fuck about your people. You need to get reelected.
No, next term.
Yeah.
Which prioritizes short-term results rather than long-term success, which is the only type of success a country needs.
Yes.
Well, what I think it is big swings. So it's like, swing this way, swing this way, swing it. Wait, we've talked about this on another podcast. That I said, we swing this way, we swing to the right, we swing to the left, we swing to the right, we swing to the left, and then in there, there's a little bit of progress,
right,
in between.
Yeah,
you swing both ways, but there's a little bit of progress each time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So it's depending on what you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's a good system in that we slowly move towards something, but it's just slow.
It takes time. There's like a lot of things that can fuck up a good idea along the way too. So it's like, even when you feel like you're about to pass something really good, it's like there's, you guys know what pork bellying is? Like pork bellying a bill?
I do not.
So
just like sitting on one or something?
Yeah, so like when Congress is like trying to pass a bill, especially in the House of Representatives or the Senate, like, usually somebody has to draft up the bill, right? And then they have to present it to like their constituents to say like, hey, is this bill as it stands, like, does this accomplish the issue we're trying to solve? And then people either within their party or outside of their party will disagree with that. And what happens from here is something called pork bellying, which is they essentially have free range to add whatever they want on top of the bill to say, like, now it solves the problems. And Congress has gotten really fucking loose about this, where they'll take an infrastructure. Like, this is why Biden's infrastructure bill went through so much shit from both sides. Like, Republicans were saying, like, you know, Democrats are trying to, like, pork belly their own political agendas into this. Like, you know what I mean? To get other issues taken care of, like, I don't know, like healthcare or like the child tax credit. And they're like, okay, this isn't relevant for infrastructure. Yeah. And then Republicans on the other side were trying to do the same thing. Like, they would yell at Democrats for that, but then Republicans on the other side would be doing the same thing, but for big oil companies and shit like that. So it's like, you could even have something as nice as like a child care tax credit bill, and it could go into something fucking random, like, you know, opening up fracking for an oil company, and it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And it just gets tossed in,
yeah,
because this is going to satisfy my, the people that are paying me money,
exactly,
to get reelected. Yeah, it's a crazy game. So like, you pass something like, say, like the Inflation Reduction Act, that is, has almost, the main parts have nothing to do with actually reducing inflation. It's just doing other shit.
Right.
Yeah, it's a crazy game. And I don't know. I know it's Obama's book that I'm reading, but I fucks with Obama.
I've been fucking with him.
I mean, I've always fucked with him, but yeah, the more I'm reading it, I'm just like, man. And he sounds like an engineer too. Like, he's like always like,
he was methodical.
He's so focused on the process.
Yes.
Like that, what he like takes his goals and what he wanted his presidency to look like, and then that's how he develops his process. Yeah. And so everything is super process related, and I'm just like, man, I fucks with that as an engineer. You know what I'm saying? Process is the most important thing as far as getting results. You know what I'm saying? And I just really fucked with that as I was reading it.
That's dope.
But I don't know how you can look at Obama and not think that he's one of the best that we've had. Like, he's one of the only presidents.
Behind closed doors. I've gotten a lot of people.
Dog, in the past, like, 15. Yeah. In the past few presidents, he's the only one I can listen to. And like, and actually think like, this guy, I can't listen. Well, Trump's out the window, and Biden kind of now is at the window. I mean, most of them out the window, honestly, to me.
Biden,
except for
Biden,
like, I can look at.
I can
listen to Barack now and go like, this is bars. Barack was so presidential.
Yeah.
So presidential.
Dude, can I be honest?
He had his flaws, but who the fuck didn't?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Dude, can I be honest with y'all? I still do. And this is going to be kind of conspiracy theory-ish, but I do feel like, because everybody in the Democratic Party knows that Biden is just a vegetable, like, the Obamas are still shadow running, like, certain parts of the administration. I'm not saying everything. I'm not saying all that shit.
There's no way they're not.
I'm telling you, Obama cares about the country enough that they're, and Biden is so senile that he is definitely shooing in 2 hours of his work to Barry. And Barry's like, fuck, I don't want to do this, but I love America this much. And so, like, he just... There's, I'm telling you, I don't know which part it is. I don't know if it's on the Secretary of State side or some shit. There is some part of the administration that I feel like is designated to the Obamas just shadow handling still to this day.
There's no way that isn't the case, because after, I'm going to keep referring to this book. I'm like, the workload that was involved with being the president, I'm like, how can he?
0%
chance. It's not possible for an old man to do this.
Or Trump.
Yeah.
Or Trump. Trump is wild. I don't understand it.
Trump,
I can't fathom the workload for myself.
Same. Yeah. And I know Trump was shooing it in. That's the funniest shit. It's like, I bet there was hella people in his administration being like, this fucking matters. Like, this FBI agent took 16 hours to write this report. Please fucking read it once. And he's like, no, we're bombing him. Don't say it. I want it to go kaboom.
I want a boom. I want a big boom.
It puts it into perspective for me because I haven't voted. I didn't vote during the Trump Biden election. But like after reading that, I was like, okay, the president does have a big impact on a lot. There's a lot. I mean, I don't know. I just need to get more into politics and be read up on it and actually start to vote.
Oh, bro, if you ever want any game, man, hit me up, man. There's always a bunch of weird, nerdy shit that I'm like, because at least for me, once you start learning stuff on the federal, because the spot where you're at, like, I started understanding that, and then it became more apparent to me, like, not only does this president shit matter, like, all of the other stuff on this bill actually has a bigger impact on me, because, like, I really live in the spot where my local bills are happening at. You know what I mean? Like, all those little local things that have the comptroller and shit like that. It's crazy, man. Once you learn what all that stuff does, it's like, bro, they control what? They getting all this money to do what? Like, they control the infrastructure. It's mind-boggling, like, how much stuff you learn just happens along the way, like, up to that president vote. And it's pretty crazy, because, like...
But I want to be a part of it.
Ooh, do you?
Like, yeah.
I want to. Like, I kind of want to, like...
Baby. Don't be a politician. Buy a politician. Don't buy a Ferrari. Yeah. That's the real flex. All y'all rappers need to stop rapping about like, oh, my Bugatti do this. My bitch got the new titty. Man, fuck them new titties. Put them new titties on a politician and get them elected so they can pass the bills you want.
Put some new titties on a politician is crazy. Hey, that's the episode title.
Yeah. Get that bitch. Get your senator a BBL.
Get your senator a BBL. Put them titties on a politician. I like that shit. You know what the funniest thing to me is going into like this next election cycle, because they're already prepping up and doing little rallies and shit for the 2024, is because now I don't know if you've seen Barack is doing like rallies and shit, and like it's so obvious to me now that like Barack is literally the last liked Democrat.
Yeah, there is no other option.
They have nobody left.
It's really embarrassing.
They're using the campaign who can't run.
They've literally had you said so the last time to figure it out.
The last light Democrat, which means
he's the last liked Democrat.
Right, this is the university elect Democrats.
It's just mind-boggling that they've had almost a decade to find like the successor to what was happening with Barack, like in terms of the Democratic Party. They had a class of people,
but they all kind of the AOC thing kind of got turned on its head.
They all just like fucked up because they went a little too hard on social policy and stopped giving a fuck about economic policy. Not saying that they don't care. Like, let me take Elizabeth Warren, for example. From an economic standpoint, Elizabeth Warren is by far one of the most, like, the smartest politicians that we have. I'm just talking economics. In terms of how she, like, all of the pulls and levers that happen in our economy, how the government is supposed to be involved in that, like, SEC oversight, I really love her viewpoints and policies on, like, okay, like, what is legally allowed to trade? What is Congress allowed to do? Like, who is allowed to trade stuff? Like, proper SEC regulations on businesses and stuff. I have, like, even her viewpoints on healthcare, I really agree with, like, a lot. But she, in terms of the public spotlight, has spent no time talking about that. She spends more time trying to lie about being a Native American than she does talking about economic policy. And it's like, bro, you fucked yourself over from this. Like, and there's so many candidates like that where they just got lost talking about all of this meaningless, like, fucking social policy that nobody... I don't give a fuck about genderized bathrooms. Like, can we figure out how we're gonna fix, like, you know...
I don't know. Yeah. Democrats are so bad at branding themselves. Yeah. They're horrendous at it. They are so bad at it. Like, this, it shouldn't be possible that the number one thing that we know about Elizabeth Warren is her lying about being a Native American.
Yeah.
Like, how is that the number one thing that's pushed about you? You control what's pushed about you.
Yeah, exactly. You control the narrative. It's mind-boggling.
The right controls the narrative of so many left people. Where, like, now I only think of AOC as an extreme leftist. I only think of Elizabeth Warren as a fake native. I only think of Biden as a 93-year-old, almost dead person. Like, why are you so much worse than the right at branding yourselves?
What I do get pretty cynical about is I feel like everything that's done or every push that they're making, which it is, I feel like every push that they do or everything that is done is just dangled over voters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, like, for the whole abortion thing, like, wasn't it on the table to be able to, like, what is Roe v. Wade?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that on the table for them to codify it? So I feel like
they
were working with the let's let them switch this. So now we got the voters so that vote for us and we'll bring back the Roe v. Wade or bring back abortion rights and all that. It's like, okay, you had all this chance. You had all these, it goes back to Obama's time, right? To where they had their chances to codify Roe.
House of Representatives and the Senate, so they could have codified it. And Obama was like, that's not the priority right now. I'm going to try to get this Obamacare shit figured out. And then
let's keep this in our pocket so that if this ever gets switched, we can have that. So that is kind of bullshit to me.
Absolutely.
I'm like, yeah, like that kind of shit. I'm just like, okay, don't be dangling shit. And like the whole like the student loan shit right now. It's like, I feel like they're gonna, you know, wait. I know it got blocked by people here, the judiciary here in Texas, and all that. But I feel like they're not gonna fight it hard until 2024 comes back around. Right. Either they'll do it right before then and be like, hey, look what we did for you guys, or you know, wait to fight it until after 2024, like, and then have that as something to run on. So I just feel like, man, don't be dangling carrots in front of my face for me to vote for you. I just feel like that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel like the people who feel it the most is like the minority votes too. Like, I don't like it when they just groupscape a category and you're like, here are the two issues that affect your community. Are you going to vote
blue? Or literally just, or saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah, that's where it gets really bad. That's crazy.
He said it outright. Yeah. It's just crazy, man.
Crazy. I've been losing so much faith in politicians.
Yeah, the whole shit is a game.
Yeah, I think we all have.
I mean,
I wish it wasn't, though, because it's only to our detriment.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I get it. It's such a complex system, so they have to play within that system. So, I understand why they do the things they do.
Yeah,
it's more the system.
It's definitely more the system.
They're only playing the game within the system.
If they didn't, they wouldn't get elected. If they didn't, they wouldn't be in office.
Right.
What does give me hope, though, is I think everybody is fed up. Like, and this is, whether we like to admit it or not, like, this is the most politically informed, I think, like, the average American has ever been, just because of social media exposure and all this other shit. And just the capitalism that has grown behind these election cycles, the amount of ads that these guys fucking run, and it's just everywhere on social media. It's almost so unavoidable that people are so fucking fed up. They're like, why does this shit keep happening? Like, if I vote red or blue, my life still somehow fucking sucks. Like, why is this happening? Like, I think we're all collectively at that point where we realize, like, there's enough shit broken that we agree on where I think there will be some change. Now, it's going to take probably another generation. Not happy to say that.
Yeah.
I think...
it's progress.
You know, it's a beauty that we have, like, all this medical technology that can extend our lives. But with that comes older people holding on to power a little bit more. That's why we have such bad wealth inequality right now. It's just, like, all the old people who were rich and had the benefits of, like, coming from a post-World War II economy into right now. Like, they've been able to run it up and hold on to power, and their health has kept them like that. But, you know, eventually a time will come where there will be a transition of power. And I think when that comes here in the next, you know, 10, 15 years, we'll start seeing some meaningful change. Because even the politicians know, like, hey, like, I can't even pull this shit on y'all. Like, we all know what it is. Like, I'm still going to keep getting away with it, but, like, my days are numbered.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all this awareness is good, and people getting into the politics a little bit more is all good, but we just got to be careful in that. The people that are talking the loudest actually know what the fuck they're talking about.
They get exposed, though.
The people who talk the loudest don't know anything.
They do get exposed eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting more exposure, and more people have like a surface level awareness of what the heck is going on. But we just need more. I think we need more people that dive a little bit deeper, including myself, that dive deeper into, you know what I'm saying, like how the system works and how we can rig it for good, I guess.
People will look like this has started to be more money into people diving deeper into it and stuff like that. Like Johnny was saying before, what you were saying actually is the thing that gives me a lot more hope in America and a little bit of pride too, because like as fucked up as the system is, and it might be slow as fuck, it might be a fucking like a big ass Titanic type ship, like what's the saying, it takes years to change the direction of a ship or whatever the fuck like that. I fucked that singing up, but something like that. Oh. Ship turns slowly. Yeah. Whatever the fuck so it is.
I never
like
heard of
ship and like a tiny steering wheel.
Yes, so like yes. Yeah. But it's turning. And at the end of the day, yeah. Like, we're progressing. It might take a fucking generations, but
I think so too.
America's going the right way. Especially compared to other countries.
Yeah, I hate when people hate on the country. I'll be quite honest.
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
Like,
we have so much good stuff going for us. Like, just because we're fucking up a couple things here and there doesn't mean we throw the whole country out. You know what I mean?
We have the ability to have progress.
Especially when people that
can't even have these conversations.
America is so
exactly.
I hate hearing that because I'm like, bro, where I come from. Shit, you gotta come back and see where my parents grew up. Where my family is from, we shit in the ground, bro. We don't have consistent electricity, bro. You have to fill up buckets from a well and bring the water back like a mile and a half, and that's your family's water for the fucking day. Like, you don't understand what ghetto is. Like,
I worked with a guy from Nepal, and it was just crazy the night and day difference. Like, while we were going through COVID, all of us complaining about taking the vaccine and all that, which is a good thing. It's a good thing because I actually, reading that book, I need to read more books because this one book has given me a lot. But there was actually a time when in like the 70s or 80s, I don't know which president, but they pushed a vaccine that actually killed more people than it cured.
Interesting.
Or that it helped. And so, yeah, so no, there's a good reason for pushback on the vaccine and shit like that, but then, it's tricky because there's countries like my buddy, he had family dying in Nepal every day because they didn't have a vaccine.
Yeah.
They didn't have the, you know what I'm saying? Like they were getting vaccines from us, like the U.S. or other countries that had the vaccine and were shipping it out to them. But in the U.S. we were like, oh, we'll keep it for our people and then we'll ship it, you know. To other countries and stuff like that. But I'm just like, man, the privilege that we have to have the option to be like, yeah, I don't know if I'll take that vaccine or not because, you know, my standard of living is high enough to where I'm probably healthy enough to survive COVID. When in Nepal, like...
Both are low.
Like you said, they're shitting in the ground and...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't have, you know, a high enough living standard to where COVID is wiping them out left and right. They're praying. They're like, please, God, give me the vaccine.
Something.
And we got people, we got 50% of our population be like, I'm not taking the vaccine. It's, you know, it's going to plant a chip into my brain and they're going to trap me. Blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, it's crazy, like, the differences, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, man, I never rock with people that shit on the situation that they're in because I'm like, you don't understand how good you got it.
You are the top 1% of 1% just being here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, America is what America is because we can't complain, technically.
Exactly. Exactly.
Situation. So it's like,
we kind of define the first world by creating first world problems. Like, that's how you know we're the first world. But the shit that we complain about has got to be so bougie that people are like, wow, that's the gap between the first world and us.
Yeah.
We should still complain about those things, though.
That's true. We should complain, but to be honest, it's...
Yeah, complain, but get bad perspective.
Too. Yeah, complain and then do something
Don't
about
shit
it.
On the country, because our country has a humongous... We have the ability to hope for progress. Like, so many countries, you can't even talk about this shit. Like, the thought of progress is so far out of the possibility. I'm proud to be from here, at the end of the day. Even though my history here is so fucked up, but it's progress. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing about Obama. I mean, one of the main things about Obama that I fucking love is, dog, we were slaves. 200 years ago. That's not five people ago. We were slaves. Bro, one was a president. What other country is that?
One person ago, we had to drink. We had to go to different schools. We had to.
My dad did.
Yeah, bro. We had to drink.
My father.
Water fountains, bro. We. Damn. Our quality of life was different. They literally tried to make sure everything we got was inferior from a water level. Literally, the shit that was going into our bodies, bro. From that, we got a president in one generation. A president.
That's America.
That's America, bro. That shit can't makes ignore me that. So proud to be from here, man.
Yeah.
To go from that to a president who can now be retired and just like, you know, Instagram influencers in peace. Like, I don't know if y'all follow Barry on Twitter. That boy is a dog. You know what I'm saying? He got a nice little OnlyFans collection. I'm like, damn, Sherman, get this is insane. Never had this much exposure to my president. I know so much about the same man who saved the economy. Is doing all this shit. This is America. That type of range you don't get in any other country. I promise you, we can't go back in history and look at like Napoleon and stuff and being like, yeah, these was the titties that Napoleon was into. I know that about my POTUS. And I approve. God bless America.
True.
Sure, I know about the POTUS before the internet. I know JFK's side bitches.
Dog, JFK was a
Oh my god.
That's before, wow. Internet.
The Riz levels.
It's America, baby.
The charts.
America, baby.
Hey, what y'all leaders Rizless. The Riz phenomena.
It's hilarious.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
I think it's funny as fuck.
I love how like Pete Davidson is like the poster child for this shit. It's very funny to me.
The Riz Lord.
Yeah.
He gotta. I don't. What do y'all think it is? Y'all think he really has a mega dick?
I don't think it's just that. It's got to be boring. Because there's a lot of people with megadicks. You feel me? Like, it's got to be that, and he's got to be a nice person. So
that's the thing. Because there are a lot of big dicks out there. But this is an unprecedented run that he's going on right now. For someone like him. Yeah, like, there have been, like, the Derek Jeters and shit like that. Thing. But
I could tell it's really, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Michael Jordan in the middle of his six-ring run. Like, this motherfucker looks like he's kind of clocked in. Like, you can see it in his eyes. Like, he's been...
The thing that makes him so different is like people with like a humongous hit list like him, like Derek Jeter, A-Rod, Leonardo DiCaprio, people like that. Yeah. You can point to him like, I've seen Derek Jeter win a World Series. I've seen Leo in the fucking Revenant and Wolf of Wall Street like that. Pete Davidson's like, I've seen you not be funny in SNL. Why do you have this much clout? What is happening? I'm not hitting on Pete. I do think Pete's funny. I just don't think he's funny in SNL. But like, it's not like he doesn't have that thing where it's like, oh, that's that nigga, because he's that guy that we all went to the theaters and see. He's not the guy we all went to the stadium to go see win a championship. Like, he doesn't have that thing that puts him above everybody else. But he's still bagging. Like, Kanye had to drop 6 albums to get Kim.
Kanye had to give us like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Pete had to make her giggle once. That's it. Like, what?
Now I think it's just like a snowball. It's like a snowball effect at this point.
It is.
Like, now it's like, okay, you bagged her. Now I want to see, not me, I like these chicks want to see, like, what is this? So that's so interesting about him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you bagged that one, and then all of a sudden, they all come in.
That's what's so great about being a guy.
Here's my take on it.
Yeah.
I think that Hollywood has just gotten really fucking lazy and we don't have any new talent anymore. So, like, let's go back to the Leonardo DiCaprio era. You feel me?
Yeah.
Back in the day, it wasn't just him. Like, the people that, like, you know, like, I guess tabloids and, like, Hollywood at large would, like, define as, like, an individual set. We had so many sex symbols at that time that you could trade off. Like, you could go from him to Orlando Bloom to, like, Johnny Depp to Brad Pitt. Like, we had a couple in rotation that were, like, switching off on the Riz God title. You know what I'm saying? Now we just have no new talent, so it's like by default, like, that's guess we have to fucking give it to Pete again. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I don't see it from the new artists, the new comedians. Like, it's the people our age, if we talk 27 and younger, 26 and younger, it's there's not that many people from the United States in terms of talent that we can say like this is all-time multi-generational talent.
I think there's plenty of talent. I just think that talent isn't as important anymore. Mm. I think clout is up there. Mm. Like, what Nate said, clout is more important than the talent. But you know what I'm saying? Oh, you got a few million Instagram followers. Oh, okay, yeah. you dated so and so. Oh, okay, I'm feeling that. I'm at least trying.
Clout is so undefined. Where it's like you can tell when somebody already has clout, but you don't. But it's so. How do you even gain it? Like, how does Pete start that ball going? Like, how did he bag? Who's the first big one? Was it Ariana or someone before that?
Yeah, I think it was.
Ariana was one of the first huge ones.
Ariana, first ones. Kim to. Emily,
nah, there was someone else. Kowski, whatever her last name is. There was someone else in between Ariana and Kim. I'm forgetting. Too,
yeah, that I'm completely forgetting. But
and also after Kim, there's like two.
Also, just being tall just kind of puts you already in.
No, being tall and white definitely has privileges. In America. I feel like that's a big thing.
But these are bitches that can find. Like these aren't like everyday. These are women who have their pick.
Yeah.
Like they could find a tall nigga. They could find a nigga with a big dick. But like this is so specific. It's Pete.
All right, here's the list.
Carly Aquilino. So that's where I first heard about
Carly.
Yeah,
she's
one. I knew about her the same way I knew about Pete. Is they're both on the MTV show Guy Code.
Okay.
And she was dating another comedian there, but and Pete took her from the other comedian, and all three of them were on Guy Code. And I remember like from podcasts like that, them talking about it, and the big thing about like how Pete took. This other nigga, Chris Stefano's girl, Carly Aquilino, was because Pete has a 13-inch dick. And that's where the shit started for, like,
damn.
It wasn't, like, huge news, but that's where I first heard it. And then Ariana said it, and then it became, like, huge and started a big dick energy, and that started with that.
Damn. Well, yeah. I mean, shit, maybe that's all you need. Being tall and having a huge dick. I mean, that probably
it really is that helps simple, out. I think.
90% of what you need. Then Cassie David... No, I
didn't. Oh, Larry David's daughter. That's Larry David's daughter.
Oh,
what
God.
The fuck?
Yeah.
And then Ariana Grande, Kate Beckinsale.
Crazy. She's huge in the white
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Margaret Qualley, no idea who that is.
I think she was the one that was in that Quentin Tarantino movie.
Okay, you're well versed on this.
I like that.
Kaya Gerber. I had Gerber. The movie drop. I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan.
Olivia O'Brien. I've heard that name. I don't know who she is, though.
Heard it too, but I don't know.
This motherfucker has dated so many people. Phoebe Denever? Kim Kardashian.
I think I know who that is.
Emily Ratajkowski. Okay, well, I guess it's not that long according to this website, but it just has gotten. Yeah, that's a good. But like, if we.
I think another element to this that we might be missing is the whole. Because Pete is like a. It's like one of those project guys. Not like a project like Ghetto, but a project like he's troubled.
Yeah, he's from Staten Island.
A woman
Island.
Like that. He's a straight dog.
Yeah.
Like he has all these emotional issues. He has mental health issues and shit like that. He's all depressed and shit like that. And women kind of like, he's the fixer-upper type person.
Oh, yeah.
Where like you're with a guy. You're with the guy who's funny, but he's like a little messy. So he's like someone you can, yeah, I can fix him type shit. But he's also entertains me. And he has that little like grunginess to him and shit like that. Women are so interesting.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes men just are really shitty with their personalities. You know what I mean? But what if Pete just, like you're saying, this grunginess or whatever that aspect is, that's just Pete having a personality. And maybe there's just
not
a lot of men that exist that actually just have unique fucking personalities, which I could totally admit, because the way that we as men present ourselves is very monoculture, like masculine. Like if you look at like Twitch streamer guys right now, for example, like that is the archetype of what us as men sell to women right now. And we are like, if you are not that by our own male standards, we're not like
quote unquote
cool or some shit.
To other men though.
Yeah, but we tell
Twitch
ourselves
guys
like, this
are
is
what
how
we're trying
exactly.
to
like, that's the number. That's the number one pitfall that men fall into is listening to other men because be unique.
Like that shit, but.
No, the next generation.
Oh,
that's what people learn.
Yeah,
people are learning from
like,
the Twitch streamers like that.
Yeah, but like,
no, people, that's where Riz came from.
Yeah, but like,
that's where Riz came from.
Yeah, these 21-year-old, 22-year-old.
Twitch streamers is where Riz came from?
They're trying to be like Amp Kai.
Yes.
They're trying to be like Adam Ross. They're trying to be like all these little guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Kai Sinat.
Yeah, what
about
all of them little guys?
I watched that
Kai
podcast, the Nelk Boys podcast with Kai on it.
With Kai Sinat.
He was saying, and this is why the subscription model is what we kind of need to move towards. Like, it's crazy. He doesn't even have that many subscribers on Twitch. It's like...
I think it's stupid.
I think he said 100,000 100,000 subscribers.
We should start
streaming,
by the way.
That's crazy.
Maybe we should start streaming our shit.
Like, that's not a lot of people technically, but if every one of them is paying $5 a month, the barrier of entry to be a subscriber is not that high.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? For $5 a month, right, you're making $500,000 a month.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Off of streaming.
Plus, like, the gifted subs and all that stuff too. Like, there's extra streams too.
Especially when we all need to figure out a way. Like, if we stream our shit when we actually link in person, that could be dope.
True. Derek Jeter's list is a lot better.
Oh, Derek Jeter.
Oh, his is crazy. You gotta look up his diamond. They got the baseball diamond up. Where it's like a diamond of all his exes.
Oh, no. I just have a
list. You gotta go to that. That's the one.
Adriana Lima.
Fine.
Adriana Lima, Jessica Biel, Jessica Alba, Tyra Banks, Gabrielle Union.
No, oh my god.
I don't know the rest of these, but Scarlett Johansson, ooh, Mariah Carey, Minka Kelly.
Kelly's fine too.
And there's others in there that I don't really know, but
wait, who are others?
Lara Dutta, you know who that is?
I don't think so.
Vita Guerrera?
Oh, I know.
Vita Guerrera? Yes, sir. The OG music video bitch.
I knew he was. See, it's that DR connection.
I don't know who that is.
You're telling me that. Is that Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
You tell me that Derek Jeter and The Game are Eskimo Bros?
I mean, everybody.
I guess so.
Every rapper.
In The Game?
Is Eskimo Bros if you tap Vita. So, because Vita tapped everything.
That's true.
Bro, see.
Bridget Hall.
Bridget Hall sounds familiar. She might be a video girl too.
Yeah, let me see.
Vita Guerra is a funny one.
I'm glad somebody referred to her today. Respect.
Jordana Brewster. You don't know who that is?
Nah.
That sounds like a chicken company. Actress.
Oh, y'all would know her if you saw her.
Wait.
Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious. Paul Walker's girlfriend.
Oh, she's fine too.
Vin Diesel's sister.
Sister. Oh, she's fine.
Yeah. Who else? Rachel Uchil.
Oh my god, this man has a roster.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's insane.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's not something.
But still, level that shit, because Derek Jeter's one of the best baseball players ever.
Exactly.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, you're right, Nate.
You can't compete.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He had to get rings on national television. World Series champion.
Pete was ever good from a comedic standpoint, the same way Derek Jeter was from a baseball standpoint. But somehow
you would have to be Chappelle
level of rings. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you got to be Chappelle level for it to Chappelle make level. Sense. But there's something going to be on accurate. Where it's like
there's that's just the that rings. That's crazy. Yeah. Respect.
Yeah, respect.
Yeah, mad respect.
I'm at the point now where it's like I don't want Riz. Like I'm in a relationship. This notion of Riz is just gonna get me into some trouble. My girl DeR is gonna chop my head off.
Hundreds of other you things. Still gotta have Riz.
Like
you do.
You gotta have Riz, Johnny.
Keep up with it.
You gotta have Riz to keep him too.
Yes.
You gotta
keep that spark.
Well, that's just being tuned in with your partner. Like.
That too. I mean, that not even two. That first.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta treat them like someone you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
You gotta treat. I don't know. I think they be enjoying too when like a chick like.
Hits I guess yes. Like that's the like. They got.
They hate that. They hate it, but they love it at the same time too.
Yeah.
Like they'll like I don't know like shit like, Gabby will like let it happen up to a point. Up to a point, she'll be like, let me see what's happening here. And she'll be like, all right, that's enough. Just because she wants to see. She wants to see if I, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I still got that guy that's wanted by other chicks, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, that's all you know, a lot of this is, too. It's like,
also, depending how you go about it, it can raise their confidence, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all these bitches want it, but he wants me.
Yep.
That keeps the sparks going a little bit.
You still got to keep that Riz.
Yeah. Gotta keep the Riz, get rid of the jizz. That's the name of the game.
True. Guys, I been playing flag football.
Oh yeah, how's that been going?
The past couple weeks. It's been horrible, actually. It's been absolutely terrible. So, first off, I guess from a personal level, I've realized with how much I am no longer him, that I was him.
Yeah.
Before. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now that I'm no longer him, I realize how much I was him. Because
yeah.
I look back on it, I'm like, so like I've been playing, and first off, I'll start with our team. So I tried to start my own team and like get people from Houston that I knew to start this team, and I couldn't get enough people. So I joined in as a free agent. And so I joined in with just a bunch of random folks from Houston. The first game I show up to, I couldn't make it to the first game because of a work thing. So I make it to the second game. We've all been talking on WhatsApp or whatever. We got each other's emails and shit. So we've been like trying to, you know, link up for practice and stuff, and did work. So we just met up for the game. I get there. I walk up. I see this one dude, like 6'5". Like he was stretching, warming up. I was like, he's tall dude that I looks like has played football before. Like he's a little beefy or whatever. I was like, let's go. I was like, my team's gonna be nuts. I walk up to him. I was like, hey yo, bro, you on the Bulldogs? He's like, no, I'm on Concrete. I was like, ah, so the team we're playing, huh? I was like, fuck. So then
Concrete.
He's like, oh no, I'm on Concrete. Yeah, that was the name of the team that we were playing. So I was like, oh, great. I was like, hopefully we got somebody like him. First dude pulls up. Dude's like 5'6". Hadn't lifted a weight in his life. Pushing up his glasses. I was like, you're on Bulldogs, aren't you? He was like, yeah, I'm on Bulldogs. I was like, fuck!
So yeah, guys, what time's tip-off?
Yeah. I was like, I'm so ready to play foosball. I was like, shut. And more people started showing up looking like me, 5'8".
Looking like me.
Then,
you still look
like,
athletic.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I still look athletic, but like, other...
No, you got a running back build.
Whole bunch of dudes pulling up looking like my height, not... And then this one dude comes up to me, he's like, hey man, you played football before? I was like... Yeah, I played all the way up to college, whatever. I was like, what about you? He was like, yeah, I played in middle school, and it was great. I was like, fuck! I was like, we are gonna get our asses beat. And then one other guy showed up that was like kind of like taller or whatever. We ended up having a decent quarterback, but I've been playing for like 6 to 8 weeks now, and we've lost just about every game by about 30 or so points. And it's just, man, it is just bad, man. And it's like, the thing is, it's like, we're a bunch of free agents. We never played together. The teams that we're playing, these dudes have known, they're all from Houston, have played with each other since high school. They calling out plays. They got wristbands. Dudes, 84 Razor, 84 Razor. And lining up and running real routes. We're over here. I'm over here looking at the quarterback. Quarterback's like, hey, running out. I'm like, okay.
They hear you too.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, dude. We have just been the worst possible conglomeration of people to play football that I've ever been a part of. And then on top of that, I'm not who I was before. Like, my ankle's hurting. Play two, my ankle's already hurting. My knee's hurting, bro. I can't cut like I used to because my back hurts.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
oh, cutting is fuck, done for me. Bro. Cutting is done for me probably the rest of my life.
Man, it's like crazy the older you get.
Yeah, man, it's been a humbling experience, which I love humbling experiences because I'm like, damn, all right, it puts me in a new mode to like to work to get to where I need to be. So next year, I'm going to try and have my own team, and I know what to do now. Like, in flag football, like, the quarterback is so fucking important. Like, yeah, probably the most important person on the field, because if you don't have a quarterback, like, there's no line, so they just blitz immediately. And if they can't get away from the pressure and throw a ball on a dime on a run, it's just like, you. If they can't get the ball to you, there's...
That's harder, dude. It seems.
Dude, it's so difficult. And we are for rush. On top of it, Nate, you know how I am. I'm like super aggressive when I play football, and like, they take all that out. Like, there's no, yeah, like... Even, yeah, cause you, like, even fighting for a ball, like, they're like, oh, like, there was one play on, like, our first game, like, they threw an out route, and I went through the player to get to the ball to try and make an interception. They're like, whoa, 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 you can't go through the player.
It's like a different sport.
I
was like, what?
So am I supposed to...
Let him catch it?
It really is. Yeah, it's like, am I supposed to let him catch it and then take his flag? It was just like, man, it's just like, this is like, I have to realize that this is not football. Yeah. It's flag football. Yeah. It's a totally different sport.
Football.
Yeah, yeah. Like, imagine, yeah, just like a 7-on-7 is totally different than lining up some offensive linemen, handing somebody the ball and just telling them to, you know what I'm saying, run the ball and just be stronger than everybody else and faster.
Right.
It's that's a totally different team. Game, dude.
The only flag they can play on, they have like a line and shit. Because me, I don't give a fuck about coverage. I don't give a fuck about receivers. I want to hit. But like the one thing I can get is the league I should play in, they have like a O-line, like a three-man O-line and two rushers. So I can actually like work pass moves and feel like I'm, which is my shit.
Oh, that's dope.
And shit like that. And get sacks and shit like that.
So you're in a league?
Yeah. Well, I was in one before I moved, and sometimes I go back and play with the team whenever I'm just in town. So I probably play like, out of a 10-game season, I probably play like 4. But I rack up sacks now.
Okay.
But if you want to get humbled, join a softball league. Because it seems like the easiest shit in the world. Like, they're just tossing a ball to you and shit like that. And like, I played baseball. Yeah. I played baseball in high school. I just played up until, I didn't play varsity. I played till 10th grade. So I'm like, I'm going to go in here and start hitting dingers off the back, hitting with my shit. But then you don't realize, one, I haven't played baseball since 2010. That's like 12 years, going on 13 years without swinging a bat. You catch on to it midway through the season, but your first two games, dog, you'll start questioning if you're even an athlete. Because it's so humbling to go up to the plate and think this is about to be the easiest shit in the world and then swing and hit nothing but air on the slowest pitch ever. It's different. It's not what you expect.
We are almost 5 years removed from being an athlete.
Yeah.
And it's like, this time went by quick. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
quick.
It's a whole different thing. Like, yeah, sure, I've been lifting weights. Yeah, I've been running miles and shit. But like, to actually get... Okay, this is another thing. I've been dropping balls. Like, catching a football has been a natural thing for me my entire life.
Right.
Like, it has been so easy to just catch a ball, but like, I didn't realize how, like, the difference in like catching a ball with people watching you in a game that matters, that you're going to go score, like all that pressure was on me. It's just fucking flag football. It ain't that much pressure, but just that little bit of pressure. I've been dropping passes left and right. I'm like, yo, I didn't realize how good at football I was until I've been removed from it for 5 years. And now I'm fucking ass.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just, and it's crazy,
like, the
dude.
The older you get, you realize, like, it's going to take more ramp up than it used to get back there. Like, whatever that level was that you were used to, like, it's going to take a pricey amount.
That was natural, too.
Yeah, because there's so much you got to make up for. It's crazy. It is very humbling in that.
Yeah.
What pisses me off about that is now I realize, like, oh, shit. My kids aren't gonna see me really be like me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my kids are gonna get such a wasp version of me. They'll be like, yeah, my dad ain't shit. He tries to give me advice in football, but I think he can't even sprint. I could, though, back then.
You'll be logging into your huddle, showing them.
showing them highlights and shit.
I promise I was nice.
Or washed up views. I was like, dad, why is it from a mile away? Now they have these fucking TikTok videos where like the video is all close up and shit like that. I wish I had that shit. My high school film is so ass as far as like quality and sort of the sky booth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm that little dot right there. You see that dot right there? That's me running fast. Yeah, 480p from the sky booth.
I feel like now they got really tough to show that film off back in the day.
Oh, and shit. Yeah. I mean, it's impossible. You just gotta trust me. Yeah, I was gonna block him.
Right, man. It's just, it's crazy. It's, man. Super humbling. I'm just like, fuck, man. I gotta try and get good again. I don't know. It's crazy. Shit. I had something on my mind. Hold up. Oh, I have one more thing. Completely separate from what I was just talking about. Do y'all think it's crazy that we are now in the... We're like old digital age folks.
Yeah, we've seen the history of we're born when the internet happened, so we've seen all of it, which makes us
so now we're like old, we're veterans of the digital age, which is crazy. Like, so like my sisters and stuff, like they'll show me memes, I won't laugh, like their humor isn't funny to me, but I will show them things that I'm sure 100% were the funniest memes back in our time, and they'll look at it and be like, okay, like,
Yeah.
On Reddit, or I'll show them like Vines and shit. I was like, it's so crazy to think that now we're old internet guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we have stuff that we've seen. Yeah. We have stuff that we've seen that these new kids on the internet have never seen.
Yeah. That still exists. That's a lot. Still on there. That has been there for the whole time. But these kids were never exposed to it.
We took part in communities, in the communities that were made that kids don't even have any reference to. Like, to them, they don't have a reference for, like, really, like, new social media taking over and shit. Like, they were kind of born with the Twitter and Instagram already being a thing. Like, they didn't see MySpace come up and then fall, and then Facebook come up and then fall, and even last year before that, they don't know any of that shit that we had.
I think the biggest example is SpongeBob. Like, if you see how SpongeBob has gotten used on the internet, like, we used to use the memes in reference to actually what happened on the fucking show. Because we watched the show. God. You see what I'm saying?
That's what now, I see about TikTok. Yeah.
Like, Gen Z kids use SpongeBob memes because SpongeBob is just random as fuck, and they just find the randomness funny. But they have no idea, like, what the context is or where it came from. They're just like, this is fucking random, so it's funny to me.
Right.
That's why
I use SpongeBob. But to me, the context is what makes it funny
to me. Exactly, to us, but that's what makes us
to them, it's like, this is some random ass sound.
Because we remember what happened. Like, we know the context, you know?
Right. Exactly. It's like, what are you even laughing at if you're not laughing at the context? That's one thing with them. It's like, I don't know. I'm old.
You know what? Something else that's going to be interesting, though, is we can always be kind of cool and hip. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I feel like I say always. We know how to, like, if we have to learn what's cool, we know how to research that.
We always see what's trending. We always see what's trending. We always, eventually our algorithms will separate us from the younger kids. But right now, I feel like we're in a weird space where, like, we're old enough to make that transition, right? We're old enough to have kids and start being lame, but we aren't necessarily lame right now because we still know trends. We know how the internet works. You know, so we're still invested in the internet. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's going to take way longer for us to become lame.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I think the opposite. I think it's happening so fast because, like, I look at a lot of people now, like, who aren't even that much older than us. The people in their early 30s, and then they're, like, drastically disconnected. There are some who are tapped in, but there are a lot who are way more disconnected than people in their late 20s. Like, the gaps are getting so much smaller in our generations where, like, shit happens so fast. Shit happens so fast. Like, even now, like, I'm not as tapped in with the ground level TikTok shit at all. That my little cousin shit, they are. We're like, there's definitely, I know a lot of shit's going on, but there's definitely a lot.
The new Twitter, like.
I feel like I'm the Facebook now, where, like, I'm getting the memes when they're already kind of been cycled a little bit, which is how it happens with older generations. Where we feel like we're like, if you talk to, like, my mom, who saw, like, the meme I was on news today or whatever the fuck, they think that they're cool for knowing that, but they don't know, like, that shit's been circulated and played out for months already. I feel like that could be us right now. Like, we feel like we're tapped in, but we're at the end of the day, we're old shit to a 16-year-old.
Oh my god. Please don't tell me I think I'm cool, but I'm not.
Oh, no. I think I'm cool.
Oh, no. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, that's crazy to think. Yeah, because our algorithms put us in these boats that actually low-key separate us more.
Which I kind of like. It gives us space. But it gives us our community, though. Yeah. Like, we don't have to be tapped in with 16-year-olds. We can stay tapped in with us.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, because we have our own culture. True.
I like that. Yeah, we have our own culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yo.
Which is the good thing about our age. Because we still know how to work the internet.
Unprecedented. We're the first old people of the internet.
That's a fact.
We are a great generation, I think. It's just so small. Like, I think it's really like a 5-year window where the people who, like, grew up and were at a decent age where we understand shit and when the internet started, and I think we're gonna be remembered as a pretty not for what we did, but the time period that we lived in being so impactful in the change of humanity, really.
Yeah,
like, the coming of internet and social media is humongous.
If you wasn't posting To Be Honest's on Facebook, I can't fuck with you. If you wasn't
now it's a joke
saying, rate me out of 10 on Facebook, then I don't relate with you.
Yeah, that was the game. That was Riz back then.
That was the Ritz.
If you could work on a Tubi Honest, then you could work. Yeah. I don't know you, but you can seem cool. It's the number one answer.
Yep. Doing Tubi Honest is just to cool have that one chick.
Humongous. It really is.
Yep.
IDK, you seem cool. It's hilarious.
Man, Facebook was so much fucking fun.
Oh yeah,
it was.
That's
so
where I learned my game.
Yeah. From like 2008 to like up to 2014, I'd say like that was a nice little run.
It was so much fun.
It was a great run.
I mean, yeah. Now I think the worst thing that's happened to society is older people getting Facebook. I mean, to keep it a buck, because older people believe everything that they see on Facebook.
Yeah, it's crazy because they used to make fun of, like when Facebook came out, they were like, what are you guys doing on that website so much? Like they would make fun of us for that, and now they spend their whole lives on it and it's like their Bible. Yep. So crazy.
Yep, it's crazy. And they believe everything they see.
Yes.
Everything
they I think I kind of get it. Like we were saying before, we grew up with the internet and they didn't. So like when the internet was coming up, they just didn't understand to the point where it's like, I'm not even gonna fuck with it at all because it's just confusing to me and seems like some hoopla and shit. But now, like, that's just a simplified version that's good for them. Like, Facebook is so simple that they can understand it, and now they can finally be a part of the internet that's so fucking novel to them. Where it's like, this is, it's so fucking shiny to them because they don't understand the internet. So it's like, why wouldn't you believe everything on this? This is the next thing. This is humongous for them. This is like magic to them.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna believe everything coming from this new thing. Which is not new at all, but to them and their understanding.
True. Yeah, it's like older people are like they're like babies to the internet. They're just trying to figure it out. Which is funny.
Yeah, we're the adults.
It's funny. Yeah. Grandparents, I posted this thing I posted a status.
I get immediately concerned whenever I hear my parents do anything on the internet. I'm like, why were you on there? Like, I just immediately just think that they have fucked something up, like, in some way.
Right. The funniest thing to me is, like, when I posted stats, did you see it? As if, like, you know you only have two friends. But they think, like, I posted it to the internet saw it. I was like, that's not how that works, right. Even a little bit.
Did you see my status?
No, I didn't even have Facebook.
I didn't see it. What'd you say?
Oh, goodbye, guys, podcast people listening to us.
Yeah, let's close it out. Close it out.
We love you. In case you don't feel loved, know that Nathaniel, Stanley, and Jonathan, we love you.